This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Reunited, and it feels so good. Their coordinating your video is Carter Freeman, 105TheFan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. You can watch us. I do want to talk Mavs here with you in just a couple of minutes. Let me reset some of the Cowboys news from the owners' meetings. They're happening today, and Nick Neatman's coming up at 6 o'clock to share his thoughts and his opinions on a couple of different matters. We did find out as well today the Cowboys' regular season win total over-under is currently set at 9.5. It's at Bet Online. The Cowboys' opening win total last year was 10.5. Dallas has won 12 games each of the last two seasons. Guys, it's down at 9.5. Isn't that a no-brainer?
Feels like a no-brainer to me, man.
Hammer it. Hammer it, baby. Hammer the over.
Yeah. Yeah. Hammer the over on that one. I think this is a 10-win team. It's a 10-win team. They think the Cowboys were better at this time last year by a game. That's crazy to me. The Cowboys have only gotten better this offseason. I mean, I can argue about the Tyron Smith thing. Shouldn't be here. Tony Pollard shouldn't be here for that price. But otherwise, your team has only gotten better.
Do you feel like that?
I guess the coaching things, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. You feel like your team has gotten better. You would have to say defensively, the fact that Dan Quinn came back, I think, is a really positive thing. The questions I have are your offensive line coach and your primary play caller.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
And I wonder if the primary play caller struggles, are we going to see a switch where Brian Schottenheimer becomes the primary play caller?
Probably, right?
You know, and if that's the case, you're probably 1 to 2 games worse. If you have to make a change where all of a sudden the offensive coordinator is not as good as the one you just got rid of.
Yeah, there's uncertainty in there in how that coaching staff is going to go, but that's pretty nuanced. Like the personnel, what have you lost? Like Zeke and Kellen Moore? We complained about Kellen Moore's offense being predictable and setting up Dak to not have success. So I think changing away from Kellen Moore, you know, having more clarity and consistency with the philosophy of your offense, I think that's going to make them better.
I agree. The stats were there with Kellen. They were.
And that's probably where this comes from.
Sure. The stats were there with Kellen. They were the number one offense, points per game, yada, yada, yada. But when they got into the postseason the last 2 years, their offense failed them. Mm-hmm. Now, you can point at the quarterback, and that's totally fair. I think you should point at the quarterback for the way that he played the most recent season against San Francisco. But the play caller is definitely the one to blame for both years, because the play calling wasn't ideal against San Francisco when you go back and look at it either.
No. I think it came up short against good defenses, and they're making a change. Now, the change could blow up in their face, and they're like, we need to go back to what Kellen Moore was doing because that specifically works for our quarterback. And if that happens, then maybe they kick away a couple of early games and things start to get away from them. But I really think injuries are the biggest threat to losing that bet if you go Cowboys over 9.5 right now.
Yeah, I would say injuries, one, I think, and you can say that for most teams, and then the coaching things on the offense for sure. That's definitely a fair question. I don't think it'll be such a disaster that it would have them completely spiraling. It's not like they just lost Shanahan or McVay or something. I get like some of the raw season totals you look at. Oh, wow, Kellen Moore led a pretty dang good offense. We all know that wasn't the case.
It's a pretty high turnover rate for their coaching staff on the offensive side. When you start to talk about the line coach, the quarterback coach, the running back coach, mm-hmm. you know, the primary play caller, you know,
yeah.
the offensive coordinator.
No, there could be a big learning curve, and it could
I mean,
even be
how
one of
quickly,
those things.
And, you know, we've all kind of talked about it's going to be on, this one's going to be on Brian Schottenheimer because he's the one that's going to have to implement the offense. It's not going to be the head coach. Head coach isn't going to go in there and, you know, be the guy that's standing up on the board and talking in the room and all that. I mean, it's going to be on guys like Scott Tolzien.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of the things I swear, if you asked Dak Prescott right now, if you were at a crawfish boil with him and you're sitting around a fishing boat and you're talking, you're like, Dak, what's the one move you think could be a problem for you guys? I think he would tell you that getting rid of Doug Nussmeier for him was a bad move.
What did Doug do for him?
Doug was a guy that he had really good communication with. He had an understanding with him about the faults that Dak had, mm-hmm. that he was that go-between to, like, he could tell him, hey, tell Kellen this, or this is what I'm thinking. He was that bridge between them, and you know, maybe even the bridge between him and the head coach. You know, Nussmeier was able to, like, listen, you're asking him this. You should think about it like this is how you should think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you had Dak on that fishing boat, he would tell you that's the one. Not that he lost Kellen Moore. Not that they lost the offensive line coach. Not the fact that Mike McCarthy's going to start calling plays. Yeah. That's the one guy. And now it's going to be on that Scott Tolzien to pick up the slack.
It's actually really interesting because, like, Eric and I host BetQL, right, on Sundays from 3 to 7. So, like, just looking through a gambling lens, if you were to just base off of the coaching changes, who's going to win the NFC East this year? The only team that has offensive continuity is the Giants. Yeah. Washington's got a new OC. The Eagles have new coaches on both sides of the football. And then you have the Cowboys making this offensive change.
That's the reason why I think the thing with the Eagles has a chance to not be as good as it was last year. I just think when you make that many changes with your staff, there's potential problems. The players might figure it out, but it might be week six where you're talking about, sure, oh, all of a sudden we're 3-3, when in actuality we should have been 5-1.
So is that where you would put it, 9.5? Do you think the 9.5 win total is nice for you?
I think it's nice. I do. Okay. I do. And
no bet for you?
No, it's not a bet. Not a bet.
They nailed it.
Because I feel like, to me, until you show me what Mike McCarthy is going to do as a play caller, I have total confidence in everything that's going on defense.
Mm.
You have to show me, like the state of Missouri, you must show me what's going on with that offense.
Yeah, I mean, we might find out that Nussmeier and Kellen Moore are part of the secret sauce, and that what Mike wants to do, they were more wise to say, dude, if you try that, Dak's going to take us here or there, and that's something we need to avoid. Maybe Nussmeier and Kellen were holding them back, but I'm pretty confident right now with this defense, if you're just committed to running the ball, you'll figure it out in the first month. Hey, we shouldn't have tried that. We're going to go back to this. And they have so many good players and such a good defense. I figured they could get it back on course and rally for a double-digit win season.
My hope is that we don't get to game six or week six, week seven, and we're starting to talk about the offense is absolutely doing nothing to help the defense. And we're and then Gavin on Monday, and I mean this in a complimentary way. I don't mean this mean. Monday they lose a game, and you're like, well, the damn defense is playing out of their mind. They can't score. They can't do anything in the red zone. Quarterback's turning over the ball. They can't block anybody. You know, that's where I worry. Because I think the defense can hold you in any game.
Agreed. Now, if we're having that conversation, though, by the end of the year, you're going to have a new coach, and it's probably going to be Dan Quinn.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I'm still concerned with the offensive line. I think you can put 12 good wide receivers out there if you want. Dak ain't hitting them if there's pressure in his face. He's going to throw it to the other team. We got some work to do there. We go to Nick Eatman, who's going to join us at 6 o'clock. He, Clarence Hill, and other reporters were on the scene at the owners' meetings today. One of the highlights, he does not see Terrence Steele. Jerry Jones does not see Terrence Steele transitioning to guard or even starting at right tackle. It's Tyron and Tyler.
Oh, man.
We'll get more thoughts from Nick on that coming up at 6. Sounds like you don't like it, Brian.
No.
How could you like that? That's foolish.
You know, and you're talking to a guy that absolutely threw a ton of dirt on Terrence Steele. You were not a better team with Tyron Smith playing right tackle. You just weren't. And I'm sorry. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame offensive tackle, but there was some problems between Martin and Smith on that right
side. Doesn't an offseason figure that out, though? They're going to get in there and practice, and as long as Tyron's healthy, he'll at least be better in pass pro.
There you go.
Yeah. So they're going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
They're going to give him a shot, but I think Jerry needs to back that up because you got him to sign such an incentive-laden deal.
I think
that if you're not telling him he's a starter right now, he feels gypped like he's showing up for league men.
I'll tell you what, though. Your future of your offensive line is
Steele
and, yeah, and Tyler Smith.
And hopefully the 26th overall pick if it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not
overly. Y'all's favorite player, Steve Avila.
I'm not super worried about it because inevitably Tyron Smith's going to get injured, and it's going to happen pretty quick. So you can have all your right tackle Tyron Smith plans. Those are going to last for 5 seconds.
I can't believe how quickly they've just moved on from Terrence Steele.
Well, and I will say this, and you're right. Like, maybe this ends up being the thing. Jerry also had me personally. You guys saw the rant I went on going to the airport when he was talking combine.
You were mad.
Half of the things he said hasn't turned out to be the case either then.
I have not seen that many audible public F-bombs since Roy White walked these halls. Zach Wolchuk nearly went full Roy White.
He was full Zeke Stain. We're going to keep both of them, and Zeke's not here anymore.
And we love Roy White, by the way. He said the Cowboys are not engaged in active conversations with Dak and his agent. They would like to. Jerry said the Cowboys never offered Zeke a contract adjustment to return before releasing him, and we're not
working. That's par. That's par for what they do.
Yeah,
they did it with Dez Bryant. They did it. You know, they've done it with guys before. And I think we were on that. I think we were on that. That was not going to happen.
Okay, so that's a little bit of a taste of what Jerry was talking about at the owners' meetings today. We do expect more news to be circulating and coming in on them throughout the week. What do you think of Kyrie and Luka and the superstar pairing? Played together again last night, lost to another bad team, 877-881-1053. I don't think it's really possible that we could have seen enough. Even though they played in 11 games, only won three of them. I just think the roster is so flawed. That's what I want them to do. I want them to try to trade pretty much everybody but Kyrie and Luka and see what kind of a supporting cast they would come up with if they just turned everything over with more of an emphasis on making sure we're going to be able to defend, protect the rim, and rebound. I think you just take average players from around the league, put them on your team, and take your players and get them off. You continue to build around Kyrie and Luka. Do you guys see it any other way?
I think that we've seen the last 9 to 10 games of Kyrie Irving here.
Really?
I do.
What makes you say that?
I just feel like, though, that, you know what, the money part of it's not going to be important to him, and you have the bird rights or whatever that you can make him pay him more money and all that. Could be way wrong about that. I just don't. I don't think that's important to him. I think he's important about being where he wants to be. Mm-hmm. He's seeing what's going on with Luka. He's seeing what's going on with the organization. He doesn't see – I don't see him – everything he's done is try to be positive. He hasn't been a distraction. I mean, Tim McMahon was talking to you about that. But he is going to move on and do what he had his run with this guy. You know, and not that they got to play a lot of games together. It's just not his way of playing basketball.
Right. I don't think they're a great fit. He wants to go tempo. Luka doesn't.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I think Kyrie's been great here.
This team is built because of Luka Doncic.
Yes.
He's the face of franchise. So I could see Kyrie saying, listen, I'll take less money. I'll go to the Lakers. I'll play with LeBron. I'll be fine. I'll be where I want to be. You know, this I think it's not going to – I don't think it's going to end very well for the Mavs.
Especially
here.
The kid stuff. Like we hear all the time about Jason Kidd and Kyrie and that relationship. There is not a certainty of how long Jason Kidd is going to be here. With the way this season's gone, with what we're hearing from the locker room and how much there's a lot of negativity right now. Kyrie can go ahead and sign long-term, but is his guy Jason Kidd going to be here with him? During those remaining years, I don't know, and he can't know.
Well, if you do want to, or you think Kyrie is going to leave, it makes it that much more important that you pretty much shut it down and get that top 10 lottery pick, maybe top 3. Not only do you need more talent if you hit in the top 3, but you need trade pieces to put on a player like Bertans, right? So we got the 10th pick, we trade back into the 20s. Maybe we get a couple of more future firsts for doing that, right? Now I have picks that I can trade with and pair with players to send to rebuilding teams. Hey, if you'll eat the rest of Bertans' contract with you, here's the 22nd overall pick in this year's draft. Here's a top 10 protected pick in next year's draft that we can get you to try to get everything down to zero and then initiate a full rebuild around Luka that would probably take a year and a half or 2 years to get going. But if you're not going to have Kyrie Irving back, I think you need a full-on rebuild around Luka. And that makes me nervous at 24 years old. This is something, frankly, they should have tried when it was clear they didn't have a good enough team maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's also weird with the way the NBA rules are and when you can trade your first-round picks and how many you can do. And so do you want to go ahead and just eat the trade that's outside of the top 10 now or the draft pick and give it to the Knicks so that in the summer you have more available first-round picks to trade? Because one of the things that you've seen now is one first-round pick doesn't matter.
Yep.
So if you take this, if you tank this thing, and I think I want them to do the tank and get that top 10 pick, but if you do that, you are sacrificing multiple first-round picks that you could trade, and now you need, to trade for anybody legit,
Yeah.
You need more than one or two first-round picks. You need to say, hey, here, Team X, here's 3, 4, 5 first-round picks for Rudy bleeping Gobert.
Yeah, well, I don't know. See, that's the problem with the Mavericks' philosophy here is they're always looking for the superstar. I don't think that's the way to go. I think that has failed them. Look at what the Lakers just did by moving Russell Westbrook. They bring in some role players that play good complementary basketball to what they want to do with LeBron and Anthony Davis. Now all of a sudden it's like nobody wants to see the Lakers in the playoffs if they make it in there. How'd you win a championship with Dirk? You had a bunch of good role players. Did you have another superstar? No. That's the model they probably need to pivot to and try and see if they can hit with that.
Well, it might be easier, and I think it would raise your floor. You know, you could get a very, very solid team if you wanted to approach like that. I think they're swinging for championship, maybe just good enough. And I don't know. You know, you say Dirk only had, I mean, it was Sean Marion and Jason Kidd and Tyson Chandler. I mean, there were a lot of former All-Stars that were just a little bit past their prime on that team. But I hear you. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Definitely time to shut it down, though, right? One way or another?
Yes.
We just want to, like, the Trailblazers are shutting down Damian Lillard. You know, I think you get in that lottery, and I hear your concerns about having first-round picks, because if you don't have them for future years, it really handicaps you. I think you need to get creative in finding a way to move that top 10 pick for additional future first-round picks that allow you to get in that trade game a lot more. But then you also have the chance of winning that lottery and picking up Wembanyama, a 36% chance of jumping into the top four. You know, those are the kind of players that could really push this thing forward in a big hurry. We got to run, Nation. When we come back, it's time to hit the expressway. 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content brought to you by Rockwall Ford is next in the G-Bag Nation. I got to chat with you about Twin Peaks, though. This is the place to be for eats, drinks, and scenic views. You're ready for the basketball tournament to continue, aren't you? Get into Twin Peaks no matter what game it is, and you're going to love it. Twin Peaks, and they've been doing it all month long, throwing down big time. And speaking of all month long, they got their Lent bundle still. If you're still rocking Lent like I am, all the way through April 7th, Twin Peaks has you covered. Try the fish and chips bundled with the 22-ounce draft or for a steal on Fridays, or reel in one of their other seafood options like blackened fish tacos, shrimp Caesar, and char-grilled salmon. I told you Twin Peaks is amazing. NHL giveaways tomorrow night. Gear up at your hockey headquarters. It's actually every Wednesday night. Watch with Twin Peaks and win. You could score free NHL swag or an authentic jersey just for watching. That's Wednesday night at the Twin Peaks Lodge, plus Jaeger Jaromir Jagr style. Jaeger cold brew, just $3.99 all day and all night. We'll see you Wednesday there at Twin Peaks. Eat, drink, scenic views. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Holy cow, the show between the show was just incredible, that segment. Don't know if you caught any of that on the webcam or at 105.3thefan.com, but you should try. Okay, what we got right here is the Expressway, 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content.
Hell yeah,
it's brought to you by Rockwall Ford. Bobby Belt's coming up here at 6 minutes on 105.3 The Fan. The last line was, good thing Woolchuck remembered his dental dam, okay? And that was from Chiafalla.
I couldn't believe Brody said that.
Hey, Lamar Jackson says he requested a trade from the Ravens. He did it earlier in the month, but he sent the tweet out today right as John Harbaugh was sitting down to talk with reporters. So they're getting alerted as to the tweet, and John gets alerted to it during the interview, and he says, well, I think Lamar's doing a great job of negotiating his contract, and I'm not annoyed by it at all. So having some fun on both sides, but Lamar Jackson rolling a grenade right out there into that ganger that Harbaugh was in with the assembled Ravens media. I love
clutch,
that.
Man.
Oh, that was awesome. Fantastic timing by Lamar right there. Is that dirty negotiation, or is that just some good old-fashioned gamesmanship?
That's gamesmanship right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's outstanding. You do that with a wink and a hey, gotcha, and you know, I don't know. I think John Harbaugh might be doing the weirdest thing here to me, telling everybody that he believes Lamar is a great player and they're excited about having him next year. You would not have given him the non-exclusive tag for $32 million. You wouldn't let your front office have him on the hook for this long. You wouldn't risk losing him. You're wanting to trade him. You know, let's just have a little bit more honesty here from some party involved. Rodney Terry, congrats, you've done it. Hell of a year after Chris Beard got himself fired for fighting with his old lady, and bang, he has been rewarded. No longer the interim coach. 5-year deal for Rodney Terry. You think this guy can keep this program?
Oh, I really miss working with this group.
You don't have to, buddy. You got the job. Yeah, the guys loved him, apparently.
You did it, baby. You did it, Rod.
Even if Del Conte had wanted to change coaches, I think the players were just like, we love this dude. He's got to be our coach.
Rodney Terry crying is just Doc Rivers talking.
That's right. Yeah. They got that natural hoarseness, and then after a coaching game, it's about gone.
I kind of wonder if that's a situation where I don't believe he really thought he was going to get the job.
Yeah, I don't think he did either.
I don't think anybody at Texas tipped their hand one way or another there. I mean, they went on the run. They did. It's a shame. Had a lead in that game. They should be in the Final Four.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, congratulations. But that was one of those things. He went into that thing thinking, there's no guarantee. I mean, nobody told me I was going to get this job.
It was well played by the AD. Even if you knew you were going to keep him, you kept those players playing for their coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That
so
didn't
I think
get
that's
out.
How you manage that.
That didn't get out. Yeah.
The Jets say there's no rush on Aaron Rodgers, but Lamar Jackson is not an option. I don't know what they're waiting for. Probably just to see what all they can get in the trade.
The Packers are the ones, I think, that are pretty patient about this. The Packers can wait till, you know, they could say, well, we could get, you know, a first round pick this year, or we can potentially just wait and get something a little bit better next year for them.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth on this
and
in my mind.
Save the cap money, too.
Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made on both sides, but ultimately it comes down to which team and which organization and which fan base expects to do the winning right now. The pressure's on you, and that's the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets eventually are going to make this move happen. And heck, it could happen during the owners' meetings because you have both teams' owners there. You've got Aaron Rodgers' agent is there. So these things, maybe something comes together. But the Jets, I mean, I was reading yesterday, they want to keep that 13th pick. You look at the history of the 13th overall pick, and most of them end up being great players. Rashawn Slater, Tristan Wirfs, Daron Payne, Hassan Reddick, Laremy Tunsil, Aaron Donald. So the Jets, I think, are wanting to hold off so they can keep their first this year and maybe move next year's.
Mm.
Belichick on angsty Pats fans who are starting to get restless. He says, see the last 25 years. Are the Patriots going to be the new Cowboys? Will they ever win another Super Bowl? We're going to be talking about the glory days with the Patriots.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're done for a long time. I don't think Belichick's getting another one.
I think
it'll be a new regime.
I think they're done because the way that he operates as far as drafting and the players that they try and go get. I'm not saying you have to have to follow what everybody's doing, but you look throughout their drafts, they're more misses than they are hits. And that I saw the same thing happen in Dallas with Tom Landry. Mm. Saw the exact same thing. He started drafting poorly, and the team started to fall apart. And then now the questions are that, is the game passed you by?
Yeah, and he's still a good enough coach to where you're not going to be so bad that you're going to get the Caleb Williams, and he's going to need a badass quarterback. And right now in the conference that they're in and Bill's in is littered with great quarterbacks. Like, good luck, bro.
Yeah.
Mavs Pacers tonight, people expecting the worst from the Mavericks at this point. There's got to be something cleansing from all of this venting. The Pacers are also, tanking. I don't think the Mavs are tanking quite yet. Maybe they get a win here, but this is right now one of the worst teams in the NBA. You know, right after the Luka trade, they played some really good games with Kyrie. So you know it's in there. You know they can play with enthusiasm and pace and together and for each other. But we don't know if they're still going to want to do that. Maybe it's become frustrating for more people than just Luka and the head coach, and everybody just wants to get to vacation and a new destination, and they see the writing on the wall. So that's the only mystery left. Are they going to recover enough to ruin the tank, or are they just going to ride this out? Bassick and I were doing the math. If they just go 3-4 in the final seven, that should leave you no worse than 10th. So we can only win three of the remaining games. If you lose this one, you should be in a great situation. Embiid is out tonight for their game against Denver, so the MVP Bowl is not happening in the association tonight, although James Harden is due back against Jokic and the Nuggets. Hey, Sean Payton is insisting the Broncos not trading Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. We like the current group that we are working with, was his quote there. And Connor Livesay did the math. The Cowboys currently sitting at 13.2 in total cap space. They'll pick up an additional 10.9 post June 1. So that's going to put them at just over $24 million. As Bobby Belt, our Cowboys insider, joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. Bob, how the heck are you?
I'm great. And before we jump into Cowboys, I just hear you talking about Luka and Kyrie there. You want to hear a fun stat that I saw on Reddit today about Luka and Kyrie?
Oh, I'd love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Luka and Kyrie on the floor together is a net rating of about +2 right now. Just Kyrie on the floor is a net rating of +9. And then since the trade, just Luka on the floor is a net rating of -16.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, bro.
That's pretty compelling data you have there, Bob, and a significant sample size of about, what, a quarter season's worth of games?
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great numbers, and it's a little troubling there. But
How robust was the conversation this morning as far as blaming Luka? I think
we all agree that regardless of anything, Jason Kidd's going to make sure we right this ship and that we can trust Jason Kidd to be the steady hand that we need. I think the idea is that there's clearly something going on with Luka. Like, I mean, he's said it himself, and you can see it with his demeanor and the way that he's operating on the basketball floor right now. And so there's just so many issues right now that I don't think we have good answers for with the Mavericks. And I hate to say it, but it's one of these things where you feel like you're kind of just like waiting to run the clock out. Like, yeah, Let's get to a merciful end here, please.
Let's see what the draft position is and what we do in free agency. That might be the most interesting thing to develop with the Mavs here over the next couple of months. Now, with the Cowboys, do we have a good idea of what this $24.1 million would go to? It's for sure not Bobby Wagner. Can we think of any veterans, or is this earmarked money?
I think it's earmarked money. Look, I mean, they still got to try and get something done with CD this offseason. They could still, in theory, try to work something out with Trayvon Diggs. You've got the tender placed on Terrence Steele, but maybe you get a long-term deal done. But, I mean, also maybe not, because, I mean, if Tyron Smith's going to be your right tackle, you can just play with him for forever, I guess, and just have Terrence Steele be your swing guy. But, no, I think that's money earmarked for trying to get certain deals done with their own guys in here, potential spending that they may have on guys in June if certain things come up for them. The last couple of years, they've made training camp acquisitions in Malik Hooker and Anthony Barr, and so some of that's saved for that. And then generally, you've got like $8 million set aside for the draft class and like $5 million that they have is just operating costs throughout the year. So I think between all of that, you eventually come to all of that ends up being spoken for.
Bobby, you think they're playing a game with Terrence Steele by not maybe, I know he's got the tender, but you think they're playing a deal like if you're a backup, this is what we're going to sign you for, with the intent of actually getting him for a really good contract and then making the starter?
If that's the game they want to play, I think that that's a very dangerous one. And I don't know that you'd want to play that type of cute negotiation game with somebody who can just ride out the tender and then go if they want, or that you'd be forced to then tag them. But if you don't get an extension done with Trayvon Diggs, you're then looking at having to tag Diggs or Steele if that's the way you want to play that. So I would just get the deal done. I think we've seen pretty consistently that the idea of just, hey, let's slow play this has burned them so many times on so many contracts that eventually they would just say, do we want a guy? Yes or no. Let's get it done. If we don't want the guy, let's not get it done. They want Terrence Steele here. I don't know why this would be the approach. And Stephen Jones, I believe, is supposed to talk later tonight. He may give some more clarity into this, but that just strikes me as a dangerous game to play, because I think what you saw on tape last year, definitively Tyron Smith is your third best tackle right
now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And he is the least reliable in terms of his health. So I don't see how much sense that makes. My concern would be, and I would hate this, they haven't always been burned by this, but this happened before, where they have this sort of emotional deference to long-tenured veterans, and at times it really burns them in terms of how they stack their personnel.
Yeah, seen that with Jason Witten a time or two. What about the over-under set at 9.5 wins, Bob? You feel good about that for the Cowboys?
I'm always the worst at, by the way, Cheech, I don't know, your voice sounds a few octaves higher for some reason.
I personally,
you got spayed and neutered. Okay. I'm of the, I'm the worst when it comes to those projections, the over under win totals and stuff. So I'm not going to ride the fence, I'll tell you, but I really have no clue. I would say right now, maybe slightly over, maybe 10 wins. I mean, I really have no idea. You got to wait until you see how the schedule shakes out. And I mean, I know there have been years in the past where I thought, oh, this football team could win 12 games, and they won like four. And then there have been other times, like last year, where I thought this team will win seven games, and then they won 12. And so, you know, it's really a crapshoot, especially this early in the season, before you can see what they do with the draft and how they choose to organize their personnel and how they choose to organize their depth chart. But yeah, I think that 9.5 sounds like a perfectly fair line to set it at.
Jerry also was talking about Zeke, and he said the door is not closed on him returning. Is that just Jerry being Jerry?
God, I hope so. Mike McCarthy said the same thing to Tom Pelissero today, apparently. I think there's also a chance that if that's genuinely the case, I think that's probably an instance of, and I think we talked about this the couple days after, that maybe there was like the slim outside chance that if there was just literally no market for him, he might have to come back hat in hand and they could work something out. I believe it was last year, and this is not nearly the same sort of scenario, but wasn't it last year where, like, for instance, Fletcher Cox got released in Philly and then a month later was back?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's something where you could see it play out a certain way where they say, hey, let's, you know, if you don't have anything, come on back. You're comfortable here. We'll, you know, pay on the cheap and you can be part of the group of running back. But I know people in the fan text have killed us on this. People on the Love of the Star listeners have killed us on this. But I mean, to me at this point, when you watch the tape, and I understand it's limited reps last year and everything else, but when you watch the tape of those players the last 2 years, Ronald Jones and Ezekiel Elliott, you have the better running back at this point. And so I don't see a real need to dip into that well again.
It's Bobby Belt here with you on 105.3 The Fan. It seems like we're making progress on Hankins, you know, based on what was said today.
Yeah, it would seem to be, and I think that's a really significant, like, third wave type of signing for you to get done.
Yeah.
For you to be able to, in the third wave, get somebody who so positively impacted your run game. And you know, it wasn't just a, well, the tide turned coincidentally when he got here. You saw the tide turn when he got here, and then you saw it turn back when he left the lineup. And then when he returned at the end of the season, it improved again. And so I think that the evidence that you have based off last year as to what Jonathan Hankins can do to help improve your running game and realizing it's probably not going to break your bank and it'll protect your linebackers that you're kind of thin at right now. And so can maybe give you a little bit of a boost there without actually having to add anybody to the linebacker core. I think that he's a definite plus if they're able to sign him and get him done.
Dak extension, nothing doing yet. According to Jerry, they're still not talking. Are we going to get something done? You know, Katie Drummond wrote today, prepare for $50 million annually. I think we can lock that in, Bob. How about you? And then could we go to 300 mil? Because I think they're going to have to do they're going to try to do the contract long. And if Dak's up for it, I think they would have to roll all of the dead money that's already in there into a new deal.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing around with this contract. I've called a couple of folks around the league and just tried to gauge some things. I'm hoping to have something put together here in the next few days that I can kind of lay out and explain what the expectation might be on this. But I think you're right in terms of what the dead money already is, and if you're tacking on an extension, and people who are anti-DAC, please do not take this and freak out when you hear this number, because it's literally just accounting tricks. But you're talking about, you probably need to make it like a 5-year extension with two void years on the back or something to really be able to have the flexibility to, you know, work the books a little bit and then make those accounting tricks work. But, you know, maybe it is 50 million is what it looks like in the average annual value. I think what is most important generally when these agents get deals done is how does it compare in terms of new cash flow in the first 3 years? So are we getting about the same amount of guaranteed cash in the first 3 years of this deal or over the next 3 years as Russell Wilson's getting Deshaun Watson, you know, things like that? Because they recognize a lot of times people don't see the back end of those contracts. The back end of those contracts are there for just accounting tricks and to make numbers look a certain way. But the guaranteed cash or close to fully guaranteed cash that you're expected to get in those first 3 years, I think is what matters. And that number could be, you know, another 120, 130 million roughly in the first 3 years, I think would be a reasonable target expectation for it to fall down on.
214 says Ronald Jones couldn't get on the field last season. What the hell is Bobby talking about?
Okay, I mean, like, you can say that, that's fine. And I know he had limited carries last year, but if you look at what he did in limited carries last year, you look at what he did the year before, and just in recent history, his tape is better. It may be a limited sample size, but it's absolutely better. And I mean, you can talk about being buried on the depth chart. It's when you look at the numbers of what Ezekiel Elliott was, he was about the least efficient volume runner in the entire NFL the last 2 years. It literally cannot get worse than that, even if you're talking about a relatively low-use back like Ronald Jones, but a low-use back who we've seen be incredibly efficient over the 4 years that he's been used.
Yeah. Great stuff, Bob. Anything else before we let you go?
Just that I love you all.
Love you, too. There he is, Bobby Belt. Must follow on Cowboys Twitter as well, and you listen to him every morning with Sean, RJ, and Bobby, 5:30 to 10 weekdays. Yeah, Ronald Jones couldn't get on the field because the coaching staff and front office in Kansas City is a championship organization. Zeke can get on the field here, and for the majority of the season, for 75% of it, he was still the number one back because the team like has some blind spots when it comes to self-scouting guys, especially guys that are popular in the locker room and popular at the NFL store with the jersey sales. You know, that's a testament to the decision-making with the Chiefs. And sort of a blight on the decision-making of the Dallas Cowboys that they had Zeke so involved. They had a whole year in 2021 to see it, Zach. They couldn't see it.
Well, I also think you bring up the jersey sales. They gave Stephon Gilmore 21 today. To me, the door's closed. I don't see Zeke coming back.
Yeah, but Zeke wants to wear his number 15 again. So they're just opening the door for that. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very good.
More jersey sales. Yeah.
That's how you get the cheddar up,
Jerry
baby.
Does love that. I don't know how many more jersey sales Zeke has in him.
Alrighty, it is time now for LA Live. Joey Erickson filling in for Lucius Alexander. Once again, here he is, Joey the Jet.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, sorry.
For another edition of LA Live on Ice. It's a pleasure to be with you. I come bearing gifts. I have some fun audio clips from the past week or in the weekend around some hockey. But first things first, I forgot to do this last Thursday. I forgot to replay the G-Bag of the Day on LA Live.
And no one
caught me on it. So I want to make sure I do that today for all the solos that missed it out. And this is Joey Zanamboni, correct?
Yeah,
I believe. Okay.
Joey Zanamboni.
Yes, and this wonderful soccer call right here.
Over the top. Wanted Julio Leaks loose a quick shot. And oh, Roman Berkey! What a diving save! Roman Berkey rejected it like Barber School did with my request to major in body hair.
such a good line.
Fair enough.
Walchuk could go toe-to-toe with the Joey. Body hair thing. I guarantee that.
Yeah. So who's he working with here? The St. Louis Ambush?
It's not Cincinnati, right? It must be St. Louis.
I think he is.
Yeah, St. Louis City SC is what I see on his bio.
Okay, the bow ties.
Yeah,
he's doing a lot of stuff. Some hockey, the Ambush is another one. Another soccer. Yeah, he's doing it all. Sure. He's getting out there.
Love the Ambush.
He's doing some great things. Well, speaking of announcers, we're going to go to a much older guy. This is Jack Edwards. Edwards works for Nesson.
Boston Bruin announcer.
Boston Bruin, very old guy. It's a miracle that he's even allowed to stay on air with some of the stuff that he's been saying.
He was controversial. He was an ESPN guy back in the day, like back when, you know, when they were running all their really good anchors through on those.
Who's this guy now?
Jack Edwards. He's with like Keith Olbermann and those guys way back in the day.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That guy is like the consummate square man, right? Yeah. He was up there on your sports center and he's making some jokes, but he's very buttoned up.
Very buttoned up.
And he was good. He was good.
Yeah, he got caught kind of fat shaming a hockey player this year as well, which already in itself is a controversy. But this one is from, I believe, a couple nights ago.
These are pro athletes. You can't be heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. This to provide some context, they were playing the Carolina Hurricanes, okay. And the Hurricanes were wearing their throwback jerseys, the Hartford Whalers. That's what they used to be.
Oh.
So, anyways,
with the whale tail on the
correct, okay. Beautiful jersey, one of the best ever.
Yeah.
So pay attention. This is after a shootout goal. They end up winning in a shootout, and this is a line that he brought. Pay attention to the last 5 seconds of this clip.
As the game on his stick closes and scores. The Bruins win in a shootout. Strip the blubber from the whale and burn it.
Strip the blubber from
strip
the whale.
Strip the blubber from the whale and burn,
burn
it.
Burn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very interesting.
That's what we used to do back in the day when whaling. We'd do that. We would use the whale blubber as oil, the light lamps and stuff like that back in the day.
So he's getting heat from the Save the Whale crew?
No, he's not getting heat at all. It was honestly going viral just because of how funny it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, none of the Save the Whale crew came after him.
That's a unique call from Jack.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's got some Bill Walton in him.
He was at it again actually earlier. he was a little angry about being a non-call, and so he was having a ball up there in the booth.
So there's no penalty on Martinook. that's a good one.
Sometimes all you can do is laugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't want to get fined talking about refs nowadays, so I understand that.
You get popped pretty good.
There's a ref shortage.
I learned.
There's a ref shortage?
Well, especially in youth sports.
Okay. I believe that. Yeah. You got guys like Dawson that are all over me about that. That's
well, true. Usually it's my own players more than the refs, but sometimes the refs can catch some of my ire.
He called out the fat shaming he did. He called out a guy named Pat Maroon.
Yeah, Patty Maroon.
Patty Maroon.
Yeah, I think he called him Fatty Maroon. And then he went on to say, I've got a feeling he's had a few more pizzas between the day one of training camp and now. Intermittent fasting for Fat Maroon is like 4 hours without a meal.
Was he with the Lightning?
Wow. he won three straight Stanley Cups.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The guy's a Lightning legend, right?
That's Jim Rome level fat shaming.
That's incredible.
For the love of God.
Yeah, it went on for like
fat
2 minutes.
Maroon? The guy that's really good.
Yeah, it was like a 2 minute thing. It wasn't like this little comment. It was stretched out. And they're okay, buddy, there's a game going on.
Yeah, that guy's dumb.
I'll own the Fat Maroon thing, but everything else was true that he said.
Do we remember a guy named Mike Milbury?
Yeah, well,
old guy.
Yeah, he's another Bruin guy.
He ended up getting fired from NBC Sports for some comments. He was very controversial.
Oh, was he the general manager that he was like with the Islanders and stuff like that?
Correct. At one point, he was.
Yeah. Oh no, mm-hmm. he always takes it to the line of getting fired, and then he kind of steps back. So he went across the line this time, huh?
He still makes a weekly appearance on WEEI up there. But this is from a Spit and Chicklets podcast, very popular hockey podcast.
Spit and Chicklets.
And he was talking about how he kind of cheated his way to the NHL and how he actually got some help from his mom, but not in the way you would think.
Oh. Here's my second cheating story. So I wasn't drafted, you mentioned, and I'm playing for the Colgate team. At the Syracuse Invitational Tournament, which we held every year. Somehow we won the first game of the tournament, which was an upset, but I played maybe 30 minutes of that game. I played a ton. And my mother happened to be in town. She was visiting to see me play, and she had narcolepsy, which she treated with a little bit of Dexedrine. So the day of the second game, I visited my mother and managed to sneak into her bathroom at the hotel, picked out one of those little red tablets and popped it just about an hour before game time. Hit everything in sight. That night, I was put on the Bruins negotiation list, and that's how I got my start in hockey. So thanks, Mom.
Little amphetamine kick.
Amphetamine kick, yeah.
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 Imagine that.
Yeah, those dime pills are no joke back in the day, dude.
Give them hell.
Yeah, you could never get away with that now, I don't think.
What, take a little something?
I don't know. Could
you? You could.
Yeah, as long as they don't test.
Just get it flushed out of the system.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good.
Do they test every game?
I don't think so. I think it's a random thing, maybe once every month, from what I understood.
Yeah.
From talking to some of the guys back in school.
What's the sport that always tests you when you have a superhuman game? Is it basketball?
Yeah.
Basketball always
tests.
Yeah.
Football does done too. That too.
Football will do that. Okay. Yeah. Football.
I mean, DK Metcalf put up some viral video of where he just jumped up and made a big athletic looking catch, and then he got tagged with, oh, we need you to take a drug test.
But those are just for the performance enhancers. They're going to let you know the exact day that you're going to get the the like recreational drug
yeah.
test.
Yeah, and then you can go ahead and smoke pot for the whole year.
There you go.
One more clip before I have a question for you guys. This is one of the most exciting plays you can have in hockey. It's a goalie goal.
Oh.
And this happened this weekend, the Fort Wayne Comets. And this is Ryan Fanti. He went to Minnesota Duluth.
Okay.
And get a load of this call right here.
Flipped into the zone. Fanti will stop it. Fanti will make a bid himself. It's going to go all the way down. We have a chance. Do we do it? Yes! Yes! Ryan Fanti scores the first goal by a goaltender in Comet history. Oh, my! Ryan Fanti! Welcome to the record book, Ryan Fanti!
Don't you want a Fenty Fenty?
All right, this takes some skill.
That's legit, man.
Yeah.
This takes some skill. Because did he do it for all the way from his, like, the trapezoid area?
He was a full 200 feet. He was against the backboards.
And he did, these goalie sticks have a little curve to them.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got a little elevation on it, right? Mm-hmm.
It takes some fortune, too. There wasn't a lot of bodies on it. He flipped it over everybody, and it ended up rolling on in. It was oscillating a tire, and it curled right in to the back of the
net. That's awesome.
So it's pretty cool. That's one of the cool
Comets.
Things that can happen
in
hockey.
Yeah.
And like in that same moment, you have the height of hockey pleasure for one goalie, and then that's the single most embarrassing thing for the other goalie. Right?
Well, he's on the bench. It's an empty netter.
That's probably the only way he scored.
Okay, I'm
going.
That would be
very embarrassing. No.
Yeah, I'm like, how the heck?
You think it just rolled in on him?
If he's in the net, he's just decided. Dude, that's a hell of a shot.
Yeah, that's incompetence at its finest.
We're gonna lose anyways.
You deserve to be in the minors if you give up a goal like that. That would be the ultimate soft gold right there.
Oh my God, soft gold. That's amazing.
All righty. I have a story for y'all. This is actually inspired in a question inspired from Alec Medford. He had this story on this past weekend. There was two Virginia inmates. They end up working their way out of jail with a toothbrush. This is like some Shawshank Redemption type stuff.
So they
get out of prison, but
they sharpen it and chisel away at the cinder blocks or something.
And then hours later, they get busted at an IHOP.
What?
And this is in Virginia. So it brings me the question, if y'all happen to be in prison for, 25, 30 years, and you got out legally, let's say, maybe good behavior, what is the first restaurant or food that you're going to go to in order to get that meal? Because I thought it was pretty embarrassing. IHOP was the choice you made.
I'm going to go hit Globe Life Field, and I'm going to crush a 2-foot cheeseburger like you've never seen.
I'm going to get that rib from Hurtado's.
I'm going to ask for a double patty on that 2-foot burger.
Is that a boomstick burger?
Boomstick burger.
Okay.
No doubt I'm going for barbecue in the afternoon and a New York strip at night. So I don't know if that's the same location or two different ones. But
Ryan, are we hitting the Chinese buffet?
No, we might go to the Chinese buffet. I'll tell you this, though. But
Where's the MSG?
We're wearing our, orange jumpsuits, right?
No, Joey said you got out clean.
You got out clean?
You did it legally.
Yeah, you didn't escape.
But I like the idea of
either way, though.
I was thinking we escaped and then went to the place to eat.
Because if you're escaping, you got to go fast food. You got to go drive through style. You know, you just got to be mowing through that thing or find a local food truck. You know, because you're gonna be on foot.
I think I'm going to the first house and I'm eating whatever in their fridge and stealing the dad's clothes. If I had to answer that question with the jumpsuit on.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the jumpsuit on, you're looking for the first vacated home. Everybody's at work or whatever.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. It's a really good point. And at that point, you're not worried about breaking others. See, that's the good thing about being jailbreak guy is obviously you're trying to be as inconspicuous as possible, but you don't have to worry about breaking other laws. There is any law that I need to break here. If I got to break into a house, steal some clothes, steal a car, whatever it is, you at least get to know that it's not getting any really worse for me here.
No.
So whatever I got to do, I got
to
do.
We got to get to the border.
I kind of.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like I would go get a dozen donuts?
That'd be nice.
That's how you run into a police officer, jackass.
Are you kidding me?
Fair.
Here's how we get caught in 5 seconds.
But you came to the donut shop.
I don't see a lot of them at the Dunkin' Donuts.
They're not at all the donut shop.
They go to the local ones.
Never been to
a donut
shop.
They have sources on all of them.
I'll tell you what, I'm sure on the text right now, there's some policemen coming after you about that donut shop thing.
Well, you're also going to have to break out before noon. Right, because the donut shop. I mean, are we keeping these things open?
Well, I guess Dunkin' is.
They're almost not even a donut
Krispy
shop
Kreme.
Anymore.
That's why, the good ones, the mom and pop donut shops, those will close early, and those are the go-tos.
Yeah, because they sell out.
And you
damn
have
right
to,
they're good.
You have to escape shortly after lights out. You got to get that 8-hour head start.
Yeah,
the first they're gonna know you're gone is the morning bed call or whatever.
That's why these guys went to IHOP.
Would you hit a pizza place?
I think pizza's a good move. You got to carb up a little bit for that run. You're about to go on.
Yeah, pizza would be good.
Yeah, you can call ahead on that. That is also true. If you can find a way to get your phone, yeah, you know.
Hey, drop it off and go. You get it
Domino's
to go.
App, man.
Well, we're going to steal the guy's phone whose suits we're stealing out of his closet.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. Are you going suits there or are you going super casual? I think I might go suit.
Suits are a good one. So if you can pull it off.
Yeah, like I'm going full-on businessman.
But you got no car and you're walking around
trying to get
in
a haircut
suit.
Somewhere.
I just stole the guy's car, hopefully.
Oh, you stole a car. You brought that up.
Ultimately, that's the plan. Because at that point, it's easy to steal a car. I don't have to be smart. I can go up to a red light, get somebody out of their car. Again, I can break every law. It doesn't matter at that point.
Well, okay, Chief. I would challenge you on that because you don't want to get the authorities alerted to your location.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very a more inconspicuous.
Oh, you thought I was doubling the donuts? So okay.
Well, you might as well have gone to the dang police station and said, "Arrest me."
I might take some donuts with me.
You're gonna want to hotwire a vehicle, take it from somewhere that people aren't gonna be missing it for a little bit.
You're taking those plates off that car, whatever you're doing, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You're not. You gotta have some dummy plates
unless you're a schmuck. I think we can handle it.
Okay. Thank you, Joey.
Thank you.
Great job filling in for Lucius. He'll do it again tomorrow. And then I believe Wednesday through Friday, we're going to have young Alec Medford, which will be nice as well. Nick Eatman live from the owners' meetings. We're talking Cowboys with Nick next on The Fan.